behind it. It is not bringing in the sheaves. We will go rejoicing as we bring in the sheaves. It is far more determined. There is a purpose behind it. Why would you be united or associated with the United Nations in any way? Mm-hmm. In any way. When the UN is corrupt, just like the League of Nations was corrupt. And, well, all right. Let me leave that alone.
So it says that Thuma, a professor at Hartford Seminary, has since his book reported that the average megachurch income was $6.5 million in 2007, up from $4.7 million in 1999. About 50% of it is spent on salaries, wow, the rest divided evenly between missions and buildings. Meanwhile, 9 out of 10 megachurches more than doubled in size between 2002 and 2007. Among the fears of Ed Young Jr., pastor of Fellowship Church in Dallas, number 7 on the list of largest mega churches and gaining on his father at Second Baptist, there's another issue, is the financial accounting of church growth that comes with mergers and added campuses. And he wonders if mega churches are just taking people from other churches because we have a cooler church.
Yeah.
And see? That's exactly
what I'm saying. Cooler church.
Right.
That's the whole point of this competition, where they've got to get the better sound system and the better right. band and the hotter rock and roll and all that.
Jeez. This is not biblical Christianity. That's why I believe, just to, you know, chide in right here, that's why house churching is so wonderful to me. Because the people that come here, we're not worried about doing that stuff, wasting our money on that kind of stuff. And if these people come here to hear the word of God in a house church, I think that they are far more serious than somebody that would drive to something like that and give half of their income to put up with that.
Right. Because now they don't have this whole prideful, you know, people, oh, who are you from? Oh, Chuck Smith. Oh, such a wonderful teacher. Oh,
name drop it.
I'm from John MacArthur. Where are you? Well, I'm in a small garage in South Central LA with 6 other people.
Yeah, right.
We don't get along with each other.
Right. You know what? It's amazing. All right, I'll continue to read. It says only 6% of megachurch attendees who participated in one of Thurman's surveys said that they were at their first church. And let me tell you something. I was in my first and last church for well over 33 years. I didn't believe in, man, I didn't do that. Then it says they appear to be being pulled from other congregations or brought back into practicing their faith after falling off the wagon. 2/3 of the megachurch attendees have been going for 5 years or less, he found. And then 1/3 of the megachurch attendants are single compared to 10% at a typical church, and the average age is 40 compared with 53. So 26% of families are megachurches, and megachurches earn more than $100,000 a year. My goodness, compared to the 15% at a typical church, which tend to have slightly better regular attendance rates. See, this is interesting, too, because it's all about money, and they're trying to draw these yuppie-type individuals.
Well, yeah, and again, that's the point when Rick Warren said that he was looking across the nation and trying to find out where God was leading him to find a church.
Look where he
and
built it.
He found that the Mission Viejo area in Orange County was the fastest growing and highest affluence rate both, and had very few churches. And so God led him after this surveying. He says God led him to go there.
Yeah,
so
sure.
God obviously didn't lead him to Watts or South Central or, you know, Harlem or anywhere else, or in the middle of Oklahoma and some prairie somewhere. He led him to the biggest and the most expensive.
I listened to this week a sermon of a preacher in Ohio. And he preached a couple of weeks ago. He built one of the mega churches there. And the automobile industry crashed. Everything crashed. I've never heard this preacher preach like this. I've known this preacher for years. This preacher was hooping, Mark. Hooping,
yeah.
Wailing, and trying to tell the people about stop bemoaning the fact, and you got to give and give, and then God will start giving back. Because, see, He built him a mega church. Mm. Your whole preaching style, everything changes. Mm. Because you have to bring that money in every week. And the preacher's under tremendous pressure to pay that $35,000 a month of a note that you got to pay when you have all those people. Once you built that. And people aren't coming to church because they can't give on a regular basis. What happens when they lose their jobs? You're going to have to close down the coffee house. Because nobody's coming in the church buying lattes.
You mean shut down the Subway inside the church?
Man, you got to shut it down, man. Feed them kids some toast and peanut butter at home. Oh, my goodness. All right.
But questions over tax exemption status and squabbling over high-profile pastors are growing concerns. In recent years, none more than Joel Osteen, 46, the best-selling author and pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, the largest megachurch in the country, has been questioned more about his riches. God has blessed me with more money than I could imagine from my book, says Osteen, who gave up his $200,000 salary about 5 years ago.
Now, can we pause right there? Could MacArthur say the same thing about his books?
Yes.
Thank you. That's what I would see. MacArthur can say the same thing Osteen is saying.
Right.
The same thing. He's getting money for this.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes. Now, you people that are listening to me that love John, what is John? Is he a biblical, godly pastor that's concerned about the sins of the world? Why is he writing another book? God only knows. That man does not need to write another book. And if he did write another book, he's a millionaire. Why doesn't he give it away free? Mm-hmm. Just give the mess away. But he'll give a shepherd's conference, and he'll give those pastors a stack of books. Because what he's trying to do is facilitate an idea that this is the way to keep the natives restless. Go ahead, Bob. I just wanted to put that in there.
So he gave up his $200,000 salary about 5 years ago because the book royalties obviously overshadowed that salary.
Sure,
that's like Rick Warren got so much royalties that he paid all of his previous salary back. Well, he didn't go broke and change his lifestyle at all. He didn't downsize. That's for sure. So he gave up his salary 5 years ago when royalties started flowing from his book, Your Best Life Now. He adds now of him and his wife, Victoria, I don't think it has changed our lifestyle. It has just given us the opportunity to help more people. Now, his father started Lakewood with a congregation that would fit aboard two buses and grew it to 6,000. When he died in 1999, since that time, Joel has grown the flock more than sevenfold. In 2008, Lakewood had a $70 million budget, up from $50 million in 2005. In addition to the 7 million watching on TV in the U.S., services are broadcast to more than 100 countries. About 43,500 people came to the former Compaq Center where the Houston Rockets used to play for any of the five weekly services.
Yeah. See, and that's why Kenneth Ulmer bought the Forum after the Lakers abandoned it, because Kenny said, well, if Joel can do it, then I can do it. Well, you need to know that he about lost that thing, and he can barely keep that warehouse that he got filled up because he's run out of material in his brain. Well,
This. Lakewood leased the center from the city of Houston in 2004 for 60 years, paying $13 million in cash for the first 30 years' rent. Mm-hmm. Wow. Then they threw $95 million more in on top of that to try to make the 650,000-square-foot building feel like an intimate church.
Ain't that a mess?
There's wall-to-wall carpet between 14,000 seats. The largest of three Jumbotron screens is 32 feet by 18 feet. That's what we were looking at the other day in Dodger Stadium in center field.
Right.
That's what they got in their church.
Wow.
Twin waterfalls bookend a stage that rises and falls before a circling gold globe and a pulpit where Osteen, often lambasted by critics for being light on theology, preaches about staying positive. He says he doesn't want to be too religious in hopes to reach the everyday person. So he's got the globalist symbol there, a circling gold globe.
Yep. Yep.
Right there on stage.
Right, yeah.
He says, don't drive up and down the freeway and just see traffic, potholes, and the construction. Look out at the beauty of God's creation. Look out at the trees. Look up into the sky. Breathe in the goodness of God, he told his following on a recent Sunday. when that critical spirit comes, you have to deal with it one thought at a time.
You know what? And I could hear him saying these words with his nice, dark, navy blue suit on with his $200 silk tie, his golden white teeth and his hair in every place, and his dear, beautiful blonde wife standing next to him, smiling. And he says, just think about the birds and think. And then when the camera pans on the people out there, Texans, struggling to make a living, looking at this little twerp who was a specialist in TV shenanigans when he went to college. That's all he did is he learned how to use the media. Mm-hmm. He's a CNN specialist, and he thinks that they're all fools anyhow, telling them nursery rhyme stories, won't tell them the truth that they're possibly on their way to a burning hell. And he says he's light on religion. This man is committing sacrilege against every soul in that building. And check it out. I don't hear, well, when I look at McCarthy.
Well, and that's the perfect dialectic. I mean, yes. The dialectic is stay positive, always positive. Oh, eliminate the negative. Oh, we don't allow negatives here. Everybody has to be positive. But then if you cross those people, all of a sudden they get negative on you if you buck the system in any way. So it completely doesn't make any sense. But that's the whole issue of the dialectic is we're trying to remove no. And when we remove no, then the possibilities are endless. So right. When the Bible teaches us thou shalt not, well, if we remove the no, that means I can.
Right. Out of the sea of believers and donators amid scores of television cameras was James Leister, who's 38 years old, a tattooed steel worker dressed in a suit. Others came in jeans and t-shirts. The Spirit of the Lord is here, he says. So was the rumble of a dramatic drum solo and the blare of a band belting out the lyrics, come in from the outside just as you are. Well, of course they want you just as you are. You can come in with that sinful, unrepentant heart too. Mm-hmm. And just come on in, just be, you know, full of sin. We're not going to judge you. We're going to keep everything positive. And now here again, I'm not saying the Grace Community Church is like that, but Grace Community Church is over on the edge. If you don't talk like the leader, if you don't dress like the leader, if you don't believe everything exactly like the leader, they will demonize you there. They will demonize you quick. That's why even though I know the man and I've been to the church, they're not too happy with me because they know that in a minute I'll tell the people what you are. Mm-hmm. And then they'll demonize you mm-hmm. and have to get rid of you. A Christian doesn't... I don't care about being demonized. I expect to be demonized because I'm telling the truth. These guys are never demonized. Mm-hmm. That's a danger. Tell us what happens, Bob, after the service.
It says after the service, some 400 people lined up to visit with the Osteens.
400 are standing in the pastor
usher
line.
Had to cut it short, cut it off. I've already turned away 100 people, he said. Nearby was a man who said he visited from Idaho with his son who was about to be treated locally for leukemia. Another, A.D. Achifilu.
He's from Nigeria.
28, whose father is from Nigeria and has attended Lakewood for 8 years, said the congregation is a good glimpse of what heaven will be like.
Oh,
a
Lord.
A big melting pot.
Oh, Lord.
Osteen is responding to the psychological needs of our culture in a theologically accessible way, says Nathan Carlin, a doctoral student in religion studies at Rice, who co-authored the recent article in Pastoral Psychology, Joel Osteen as Cultural Self-Object.
See, and now these guys are writing books using these mega pastors as an example of where Christianity is,
sad.
Further deluding
yes.
the American mind.
Right. And again, we talked about them meeting felt needs of the flesh. That's what he says right here. He's responding to psychological needs to heal their hurts and make them feel better about themselves.
Right.
Even though not demanding that they repent of their sins and change their ways. So many preachers tell us that God loves us, But Osteen makes us believe that God loves us.
See, now there's...
And this is why he's so successful.
Oh, man, Osteen don't make me believe nothing. I mean, I look at that boy and I say, boy, you are good. I watch him as a tremendous actor. You know, I go back to my theme verse. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. That's the way I see Osteen. I see him as a pretender, as an actor. Now, here's the danger, people. Why don't everybody else see him? Mm-hmm. It's because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the God of this world hath blinded your mind. That's why they see him as successful and everybody loves Joel. Oh, it's terrible. It is just ridiculous when you think about this. It says it's unclear how much more successful he can be now, or how much bigger mega churches can get, even in Texas. One sign of success, despite the economic downturn, Lakewood says they are on a par with last year's collections. In other words, they weigh their ministry by how much money they have coming into the coffers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, now this is sick. And then it says, when I was growing up in a church, $1,000 was a big deal. Osteen says, right, for a little old Texas boy growing up in the country, it was. He says,
it still is for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. He says, but you know what? And you have to just hear Joel say that. But you know what? But you know what? It's just different. It's just different. It's just a different day today. See, that's the way Joel talks. But you know what? It's just a different day today. Just because he says that doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it so. And then the last page, the last paragraph, Bob, that's where we are. Uh-huh. It says, I don't know where we will be in 30 years, Joel Steen says. Well, I think Michael Jackson said that too. Hmm. But never know. It says, there will be churches of 100,000 people. Or will we be meeting in big stadiums? I can fathom that now. Joel is talking, and then he says, but I don't know. Then he says, it could come sooner than that. Then he says, in April, 45,000 people fill New York's new Yankee Stadium to hear him speak. Can you believe that? 45,000 people. That's just as bad as Creflo coming from College Park, Georgia, and preaching in Madison Square Garden.
Or the big Billy Graham crusades.
Oh, man.
And especially as he got older to where they knew he wouldn't be doing many more than tons and tons more.
You know what? The only thing that I can advise you people to do is to do your own homework and read up on this stuff. It's all over the internet. I'm looking at this thing. It says watch.pair.com. Okay, that's the people that put this out. And it's a great article where it talks about the transformation of John MacArthur's Grace Community Church and the training centers. Check this out as I just read the first part of the article. I guess we'll shift to that. It says, TMAI has 16 training centers worldwide. Mm. And then this person said, I've taken a close look into the church growth background of the TMAI leadership, and I've cited examples of their transformational language. Let's now take a look at some of the activities of some of these centers. Now, the first center that he highlights is in Brazil. Brazil partners with the Mozambican government. And whenever you see a church partnering with the government, that should be a warning light. As the article goes,